Republicans took control of the state house for the first time in a decade 2 years ago, pledging to permanently cut income taxes. Party Executive Director Tony Sutton says they delivered on their promise.
I think that there's a good contrast between what the Republicans in the Minnesota House did, which are work for tax cuts, and what the Democrats advocated, which was spending.
But House Republicans didn't get as much as they wanted. During their first session in the majority, the legislature enacted a $1.4 billion across-the-board income tax cut. This year, Republicans proposed $850 million in tax cuts, but an end-of-the-session deal whittled that down to $175 million. Conservative activists were disappointed, and according to David Strom, legislative director of the Taxpayers League, some may be less willing to pound the pavement and open their pocketbooks for Republican House members.
Overall, only about half the surplus was returned, and 60% of the Republican caucus campaigned on returning 100% of that money. Now, as many excuses as they have about the governor betraying his promise, which he did, and Roger Moe wanting to spend every dime and more of the surplus, which he did, the bottom line is that some of these Republican members promised things that they did not deliver, and people are going to be upset.
One top Republican donor was upset enough to threaten to stop contributing to the House Republican caucus if it didn't bump House Speaker Steve Swigum. Caucus staffers admit fundraising dropped after the legislative session. Majority Leader Tim Pawlenty says House Republicans have to remind party activists that they only control one-third of Minnesota's tripartisan government, and they can't reverse 40 years of DFL legislative domination overnight.
This is a cause, and it's a movement, and if you look at the history of change in a democracy, absent a war or a crisis or a really strong executive leader, with none of which we have in Minnesota at the moment, change tends to come incrementally. That's sometimes frustrating for folks who are really involved in the process, and it's frustrating for us.
Pawlenty and other Republicans are also nervous about the history of presidential elections in Minnesota. The top of the ticket can trickle down to local races, and a Republican hasn't carried the state in 28 years. Although some polls indicate George W. Bush is running strong in Minnesota, DFL House Minority Leader Tom Pugh says his caucus is hungry to regain power.
Democrats usually do better in presidential election years with that turnout. We usually see a positive effect in the polls for Democrats. We think this last session also has energized our candidates.
Pugh says House DFLers will stress that they push for more spending on education and health care this session and will campaign against Republicans who opposed a patient's bill of rights and privacy legislation. But Republican Sarah Janicek, co-editor of the newsletter Politics in Minnesota, says HMO regulation and privacy aren't issues that determine elections.
And given a strong economy, I fully expect it to be an incumbent here, with a few exceptions.
There is one factor that could defy conventional wisdom this election, the slate of Independence Party candidates in a couple dozen legislative races. Most analysts don't think the party will gain any seats, but independent candidates could pull votes from either Republicans or Democrats, and neither party knows how to gauge their impact. At the Capitol, I'm Laura McCullum, Minnesota Public Radio.